This is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Jesus' death and resurrection. It was the day that he had promised when he was with the disciples in the upper room at the Last Supper, while he was there with those disciples. He told them that he would send the Holy Spirit upon them, and that the Holy Spirit would teach them, remind them of everything that he had done, and also give them the power to do even greater things than he had accomplished. And that it would be the Holy Spirit that would teach them, structure them, and instruct them, and help them grow in their spirituality. And then they were to go out, and as the disciples would teach others about everything Jesus had taught, how to love, how to forgive, how to perform miracles in people's lives, how to serve especially. Because he had told them at that very dinner, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And he told those disciples, remember, love one another as I have loved you. Lay down your life for the good of other people. Be willing to wash one another's feet. Take care of the poor, the hungry, the lonely, the forsaken. Help those in need, to, especially of spiritual need, to turn back towards God and have a relationship with God again. Jesus Christ came to reconcile all humanity once and for all and bring the people back together with God. When he died upon the cross, the temple veil that was hung between the people and God, that veil weighed more than 2 tons, by the way. It was very, very, very heavy, making sure nobody could get between them and God, or to God. Only the holy people could. Well, when Jesus died, he realized only he was holy, right? Only he was perfect. But because of his death and blood on the cross, he made us all perfect in God's eyes. So what once separated us from God, which was sin, was no longer something to separate us, because sin died the day Jesus died. Condemnation died that day. And you were given eternal life that day. You were forgiven. And you were given the opportunity to go directly to the throne of God at any given moment in your life, to have everything you need. By asking and believing in prayer, you will receive it, just like Jesus did. And so Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to those disciples, knowing that they were human. They were just average people, remember? Nobody special. Nobody well-educated, nobody religious and knowing everything there was to know about the scriptures, and pretty much messed up men and women that had backgrounds and pasts that were not exactly exemplary or holy, right? We know that they were imperfect people, those disciples. And Christ knew that they would need the power of something spiritual and supernatural, the Holy Spirit. Holy means separate, set apart, right, from the world. We're in the world, we're not of the world anymore as believers, right? Right? Exactly. It's kind of like when you go swimming, you get in the water, you get wet. What happens later? Dries off, right? You go back to your normal state, right, of dryness, if you will. In the spirit, as we're in the world, sometimes some of the world gets on us, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. All too much. And that's why we come to church, because we have to get back into the presence of God. There's something about being in the holy temple when you're no longer separate from God, but God is right amongst us, because the Word of God also tells us that Jesus came to live amongst Emmanuel, God with us, right? And he promised the Holy Spirit would live in us all, so that we could be in the world but not of it, do things differently, to love differently, to forgive differently, to serve differently, to be selfless as opposed to selfish, right? And he promised all that, but in order for that to happen, Pentecost had to happen, which is, penta means 50. So 50 days later, as he promised, the disciples were gathered in the upper room where they had been waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, right? They were expecting it to come. Are you expecting the Holy Spirit to come to you this morning? You need the Holy Spirit to get through this life? Yes. And the word actually means parakleti, which is comes from in the Greek, and it means one who is called alongside to help. Someone who's called alongside. Para means aside. So you have something that's aside you. The Holy Spirit walks beside you and aside you to do what? To help you. To help you do the things that you cannot normally in the natural as a human being do. But in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, you can do all things through Christ, right? Right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? All right. So it's an exciting morning. Because whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're working on, whatever you're trying to make happen for yourself or change within yourself or whatever is going on with you, physically, emotionally, or spiritually speaking, you need some help alongside, don't you? And the power of the Holy Spirit to do things within you that you didn't even know or dream were possible. Right. And that's what the apostles knew. That's why they were sitting in that upper room waiting on the 50th day. They were expecting the Holy Spirit to come. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them. So the first thing they do is they hear a sound, a mighty sound. You see the power of words. Sound. We need sounds. We praise God through our music. We're sending out sounds, right? Right? You hear the Spirit move, right? And the Spirit, when you hear a song, what happens inside of you? Your spirit gets moved sometimes, doesn't it? You see how important sound is? That's why we have music in our worship. That's why singing a great song throughout your day will move your spirit, won't it? Right? Especially if you sing happy, good songs. Right? Right? All right. Because we're in the world with lots of other songs, but we're not of the world. So we sing other types of songs, don't we? Uplifting songs that'll lift your heart, right? So they heard a sound like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the house where they were meeting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. So now they have a visual, right? They see what appears to be tongues of fire. There's a light that comes so bright that it appears to be a fire. You understand? So they're hearing, right? And they're seeing visually something happening around them. And that's what energy does, doesn't it? When you're excited and when you're passionate and when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you start to move, don't you? Right? And you start to go places and do things in a spiritual way where you might never have done it before. And that movement is like your soul on fire, right? Right? And you set other people on fire. That's the beauty of Christianity, I believe. I think we're little campfire people. Right? And you're the marshmallows. We want to melt your heart and give you some more love. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just made that up. I did. The Spirit moves in me sometimes, and there it goes, right? Well, listen. Does the flame, if you're one person who's a light and someone's in darkness, and you bring your light, do you not share that light with another? Is that not what we're about when we, right? We're here to share light, share goodness, share awesomeness with one another, right? Tell some good news to each other, right? And lift a person's spirit up. And sometimes because you're on fire somehow, some way, and you might even be like a little ember, but you can spark enthusiasm in someone else. You can give hope to somebody else. You can enlighten their burden, can't you, right? Right? When you have a soul on fire, you help other people catch on fire. That's what we want to do in this church is be a people that touch each other. Every time we feed the homeless, for example, we're bringing food, but we're bringing love, right? Which sets people on fire. There's something good about love, isn't there? It gets your adrenaline going, doesn't it? Yes? All right, it feels good, right? All right. So that's what the disciples and the people, the believers gathered in that room. They could feel God's love and warmth come. That's the Holy Spirit. You see, the character of God is love, right? God is love. We know that, right? Does love not keep you warm? Doesn't it? Yes, it really keeps you warm. especially unconditional love. That's agape love. That's the kind of love that Christ has for the church and for all people, right? That's the kind of love we have to have for each other, and it only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the way. But it warms other people. It makes them feel important. And it says here that those appeared and settled on each of them. Did it say some of them? It settled on each. So when the Holy Spirit comes and into this place, the Holy Spirit comes and settles on each of you. And each of you need something different from God, don't you? So whatever it is you need, that's where the Spirit is going to settle perhaps your mind. Maybe settle your heart, settle your anxiety, settle your spirit, settle your thoughts, and bring a peace upon you, right? That's what the Holy Spirit brings as well. Peace, unconditional love, grace. If you need forgiveness, if you need hope, that's what the Holy Spirit brings to you this morning, right? And every time we gather. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. So here's what's transpiring. Just so you know, all the people that were gathered there were from all kinds of places throughout the Middle East. And it lists them later down, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Cyrene, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the area of Libya. I mean, there's all these people who speak all kinds of languages, right? Understand that? They're not all just speaking Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. There's all kinds of people of all walks of life in that room. Kind of like you guys. I mean, I speak Yankee from time to time, I know. And once in a while, I speak Southern. Gonna get me some grits. See, I can, you're right, but see, when what would I do with those? I don't know. put them on my Yankee hot dog, right? But listen, we talk about diversity, right? Understand that this first church experience was a bunch of diverse people who came from all walks of life, from all kinds of cultures, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of history, right? Gathered in one place. And so the apostles began to speak, and they started speaking in various languages. Why? So everybody would understand. See, I believe this, and you'll notice the title for the sermon. Love in any language can be heard. Whether or not you can speak whatever language or dialect that many throughout our country today, or even in this church, there's various different languages that are here, correct? Some of which is even Spanish, which I know poquito. So, means a little, I think. having visited to the Dominican Republic. But interestingly enough, when I visited the Dominican Republic and preached there in my Yankee, Southern person, Joy Stone's preaching style, right? They understood. They knew that the love of Christ is warm, is comforting, is hopeful, and it's sharing and giving and generous. And so the reason those languages were spoken at Pentecost was for the purpose. Remember, Christ said he wanted the disciples to go out to all the nations and tell them of his mercy and grace and forgiveness for sins. And that if they turned from where they were to God, they could be reconciled to God and everything would be wonderful again, spiritually speaking, right? So that preaching was done so people could be brought to God. And Peter, as he preached, he was speaking about the great love of Christ. Because remember, those people that were there didn't understand. They only knew stoning and crucifixion. That was the way religious people dealt with them. Or they were thrown out of the temple. But see, Jesus made it a new way, didn't he? The new covenant was different, wasn't it? It was to bring people into the kingdom of God. Bring all the lost, all the sinners, all the people that had issues of any kind of language and any kind of background, to bring them back to God and bring them into fellowship with each other. Awesome, wasn't it? So Pentecost, the reason for that whole process was so that the disciples could take off their blinders and stop just being Jesus' followers and being worried about the Romans and having their, and Israel being saved. It was also to preach to the Gentiles, everybody and anybody. And so that's why the Holy Spirit used those languages to minister to the people. And so here's what transpires. Godly Jews from verse 5, godly Jews from many nations were living in Jerusalem at that time. When they heard the sound, they came running to see what it was all about. I only wish we had loudspeakers outside very often into the community out here where we were praising God through music. And sometimes if you drive through the parking lot, and I come sometimes on a Tuesday night, I can hear the music blaring in the backyard. And it lifts my spirit when you guys are rehearsing. Or when I drive by on a Thursday night and I see the folks from AA meeting and I hear their voices and I think people are being healed of alcoholism, it makes my heart jump. You see what I'm saying? That's what the fellowship of believers is supposed to do, is to help change and transform lives, right? And they were drawn to that sound. There's something about when you're excited for God and when you're on fire for God and you tell people about your testimony, for example, and how God has transformed your life, and you start talking really loud about it, if you're like me, or maybe you do it in your soft voice, but you talk heart to heart with someone about what God has done for you, people are drawn to that, aren't they? They come and see what's going on there. And all the miracles that have occurred in the early church and continue to be performed in this church are what we want more and more people to be drawn to. But we need to be telling people about that too, don't we? Right? All right. So the next, it says, and we hear all these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed. So what were they hearing? There wasn't just preaching they were hearing, right? What were they hearing? All the people doing what? Praising God for all the things God had done in their life. Just imagine this. If all of you all of a sudden right now started telling each other all the wonderful things God had done for you, what would it sound like? I'm not hearing it. What would it sound like? If all of you started telling each other all the things that God had done for you, what would be happening? What would I hear? What? I'm not hearing. What is it? I mean, tell each other. What is it? What was it now? You can all talk at once. It would be okay. The internet would understand. They would only hear voices praising God about all the things that God has done, right? Right? See. He brought me this far. Now, let's turn to the next verses over at verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. And this is where Peter, he had been preaching to them after the people were praising each other, right? Or praising God, I should say, and telling of their testimonies. Peter gets up and he starts to talk to that crowd that had joined them, especially those Jews that had come and heard things, about all the things Christ had done. And so then the people become convicted. And he says, turn from your sin and turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you turn away from and you turn to, right? And you're baptized in the name of Jesus and you receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you need someone alongside of you for the rest of your life to guide you and help you, right? Awesome. Now let's go to the next verse down. I think it's verse 43. And it says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. Why? Why did a deep sense of awe come over them? because suddenly they understood everything Jesus had done for them. They really were impacted, and they really understood once and for all, you know what? I don't have to be ashamed anymore. I don't have to worry about my eternity. I don't have to feel bad about me anymore. I'm free. I'm free to live a life of blessing and abundance and all that God has for me. Right? Isn't that awesome news this morning? God, through Jesus Christ, gave us all new life, a new life to enjoy and be happy and to help one another with. And it says, the next verse, it said, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. You see what the activities of the early church was. After the Holy Spirit came and the people all gathered and they heard the message of God's unconditional love for all, and each of the people were telling each other all the things God had done in their lives, right? I mean, who else besides Peter had a miracle happen to him, right? And Mark and John and all the others, right, that were there with them, Mary Magdalene. All those people, their lives have been transformed for being with Jesus, right? And then they began to meet together. Now, here's what transpired in the early church, and this is what I want our church to do and be and continue to do and be. The apostles performed miracles. I think we can check that one off, right, here at Christ the Cornerstone? And there's more miracles to come. So the apostles, we're going to keep performing miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? You're going to meet together constantly, more than once a week, I would guess. So I'm glad you're here on Sunday. But there's other ways that you can meet together and talk about all the good things God has done, right? If you want to do some things with your time, lift somebody up. Meet with them. Lunch, breakfast, out wherever. We have lots of fellowship opportunities here at the church. Bible study, right? Body for Christ. We can work out together, physically speaking, right? And feed the soul at the same time, right? But you believers, meet together to help one another. Anybody here need help from God all the time besides me and us? Right. Yeah, on a regular basis, right? We need recharging, right? Our battery gets low, right? Other believers help with that. Do you understand that? Communication with one another is important. Prayer for each other, right? Sharing, worshiping. They met in homes to have the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper was this at that time. It was actually a meal where people that couldn't afford to have food or didn't have food were invited to the meal. That's why it was called the Lord's Supper. Because what did the Lord Jesus say about feeding people? Well, in Luke, he said, when you have a dinner, don't invite your friends and your family and all the people that like you or all the people that can pay you back. It says, he says, when you put on a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors. Now, it says, for they will repay you by inviting you back. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Well, I don't know about you, but some days we're poor in spirit, right? Not only poor financially, right? The lame. Some of you have some lame excuses from sometimes too going on. And the blind. Are we not blind sometimes to our own goodness, to the goodness of others? Or we're blind because of people don't want us there. We think we don't belong. Well, you do belong at the table of Christ. It's called the Lord's Supper. Who puts it there? The Lord. Why do you put it there? Because the Lord tells you internally, remember, we're here to serve, right? Especially those who can't repay you. And they prayed God together, and they enjoyed the fellowship of one another. They talked about good things, positive things, uplifting things, right? And then as a result of all those 9 things, God added to them daily those who were being saved. So what this also says, this must mean that we bring unbelievers to the table too, right? There's nothing worse, in my opinion at least, than a Christian church only having Christians in it, only having the perfect holy people in it, or people that think they're holy and they got it all together. And there's nothing worse than a judging church. And I know sometimes when we walk on our property, sometimes you might see cigarette butts outside and go, smokers are here. You see what I say is, smokers are here, right? Right? Because maybe we can help them through a miracle, help them stop smoking, right? You see, right? But are we going to judge and condemn and say you can't come in? No, of course not. And we know that alcoholics come in this place, some who have admitted it and some who haven't yet, right? And any other addictions that many of us have in any number of ways, are these doors open to everyone? And how do we treat them when they get here? With love, like children of God. Do we ask them to turn from their old ways? Yes, because there is a better way, right? We can live clean, sober lives and be blessed. When some of the things inside of us that's bothering us gets healed, we become different, don't we? Right? We bring our brokenness here. And what does Christ do? Puts all the pieces back together, doesn't he? Now, some of us are a little more crackpots than others. Oh, some of I only speak for myself. But you know that when you have a pot that's got some lines in it that are a little bit of ever so fine, that you can see the light through it, can't you? Still shows light. Still can light up a room. Still has value. Still is important to God, right? So, the day of Pentecost was an awesome day. It was the day the church began because the Holy Spirit came and filled those apostles and those believers with supernatural power to love those that maybe they had previously thought were unlovable, or perhaps themselves, they might have seen themselves as unlovable. And then they received the love of Christ that day and became believers in everything that Christ represented. Unconditional love, mercy, grace, forgiveness for all people, whoever they may be. So this morning, as we enter into a time of communion, we call this the Last Supper. It's the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples. It was also the First Supper, if you will, of the New Covenant. It was the supper that gave forgiveness of sins. It gave atonement. It gave freedom from rejection and condemnation. Jesus, at that Last Supper, he told the disciples, remember, love each other just as I have loved you. That's how people will know you belong to me. And I'll send the Holy Spirit up alongside you to remind you from time to time when you get a little, like we get as humans, because we get in the world, the Holy Spirit reminds us, love everybody in spite of what we see, hear, or feel about them. And the power of the Holy Spirit allows us to love everyone in an unconditional way. So as we share this meal, the reason we do it in remembrance and a reminder to ourselves of Jesus' deep love for us and all people, and his teaching of service to each other, the willingness to wash each other's feet and to feed whoever sits at that table. Everybody is welcome at this table, just so you know, believer or not. This is food that can feed you in a spiritual way, that can go deep down within your soul and change things little by little inside of you. And take that brokenness that once was your life and put it all back together and fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit to help you love yourself and others. And then in turn, be willing to serve and feed whoever you can. And so this table is always here and it's always open to everyone. And as we serve communion to you, we want to remind you of God's love for you. And we want to remind you that God wants you to be in relationship with Him. And that the Holy Spirit, as you receive that communion, will also move inside of you and give you new life and hope. And it's love in any language. We put out the host, Jesus Christ. We share with you His mercy and grace in the cup of forgiveness for everyone. You can understand that, right? Love in any language can be felt by everyone and anyone. That's why we have this communion table. And after we serve this communion, we invite you to join us for fellowship in our hall, where there's food there for the crippled, for the lame, for the blind, for the poor in spirit. That we want to share with you and be together with you and have enjoy our fellowship together with you, to get to know you and praise God with you, and to just be with each other and enjoy each other's company. So we invite you to that table too. Let us pray. Most loving God, we thank you. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We hear you, God. We hear your love as it pours down upon us all, as a gentle rain upon our hearts and souls. And you melt us, Lord, with your fire of love and warmth for each and every one of us. We ask you, God, now that your Holy Spirit would touch each and every one of us as we enter into a time of communion with you. We know that the veil was torn open and we are welcome at your table, the Lord's Supper, so we can receive again your power from on high, that supernatural nurturing and nourishing of your Spirit in us and through us. We drink of your cup of forgiveness this day as we also in turn forgive all others and give them mercy and grace and unconditional love. And we, Lord, we ask and pray that we all would ask to serve rather than to be served. Help us each be willing to love everyone, God, and wash each other's feet and cleanse them, God, of their pain and their hurt, and heal their broken hearts and nurture their minds and souls. And let us praise you, God, for all the miracles you performed in us and through us all. And we praise you, God, for the miracles yet to come in this mighty church of great works. In Jesus' name.